go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are off and running for another live broadcast on the horn. It is the 18th day of May, 2018. HeadOn.live is where we live. And that's where you can go to pick yourself out a screen name and a password and become part of the Madcap Merry Zany Wacky real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Yes, if you do pick yourself out a screen name and a password, you'll be immediately met and welcomed and greeted by the likes of Anatole and Silent R. Lamar and Sailor Chick and Squeaky and B.T. Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, and Man Cave, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, who is probably I know why he wasn't in the room last night. He had just received a shipment from Katz's Delicatessen in New York City and was probably half out of his mind on Knoblauchwurst and Knackwurst and pastrami. I know I would have been. That's okay, Steve. Not to worry, buddy. I understand that kind of thing. But Man Cave is just kind of being a civilian this evening. But he'll be hard at work here in about an hour because it's Friday. That means it's Friday on the front porch. That means the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable will be up and running in short order. And listen, if you want to... no problem, Steve from Georgistan in the chat room says, thanks for your understanding, Bob. I do. I understand completely. And I won't look for you for a couple of days when you get that... That order of lox and bagels from Russ and Daughters either. You'll probably have to disappear for a couple of days for that one, too, because you'll just be half out of your mind on smoked salmon. Yes, you will, because it's so good. I guess we all know what we're going to be talking about this evening, don't we? And with that in mind, I encourage, because when these things happen, such as Santa Fe, Texas, we find ourselves sort of, it's one of those moments when you can feel the sense of isolation more acutely than others. And consequently, I encourage people to talk about it. And so if you'd like to be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable here in about an hour and converse, it's easy enough to do. If you're not already friends or connected to or a contact with or however, whatever particular terminology we use with Skype, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, one word, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail to get into the conversation. Because it's not nice to, it's not good to feel all alone in the midst of such chaotic madness. In the midst of such preventable madness. No. So if you want to engage in the conversation, please feel free to do so. Thanks go out this evening to Grace. Thank you very kindly, Grace. Grace in New York, and thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rhode Island, subscribers. Thank you very kindly as well to Jeff in Oregon. Thank you very much indeed for being members of the merry little band that helps to sustain the horn. Thank you very much indeed. Big thanks going out to Brutus in Fort Collins. Thank you, Brutus. That means we've got, all told, taken together, we got about $100 to raise this evening. And, you know, we're going to have a shortfall this month because of my absence and the couple of nights that I just wrote off this week. But actually, Brutus took a big chunk out of that, and we could just say we'll raise $200 this evening, and that'll close the week. So let's do that. 10 at 20, 20 at 10. Thank you very kindly to Brutus, and thank you to our subscribers. Meanwhile, Billable Rick with a note says, in honor of the enormously talented boys from Ireland, known as the band U2, whom I saw at the LA Forum this past Wednesday, a true church night or prayer meeting experience, I'm making the U2 Can Support the Horn Challenge. I'm pledging $20 to the horn to be doubled once that challenge is met. So if somebody meets $20, Billable Rick throws another $20 in on top of it. Trump Merca could sure use more people like Bono and The Edge, who are much better Americans than the maggots are, who are currently running running this country. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. And in addition, I had a note from Chris in Germany telling me to carry over her challenge to this evening. So there are $45 worth of challenges. Let's see. That'd knock down $110 worth of fundraising if folks want to respond. And I hope they do. I've got a note here from Terrace. Might as well dive right into what's going to eat up the news cycle this evening. My thoughts, Santa Fe, Texas, subject line. My thoughts, says Terrace, are with Oliver North, gunrunner, Wayne the Peter, terrorist, and every single NRA member. My thoughts are with every manufacturer of guns and ammo and their employees. My thoughts are with every Republican in Congress and in the White House and every motherfucker who votes for them. I think I understand why they're in Terrace's thoughts. Because he's remembering that things like this are cause and effect, and that there's a reason why people get shot up in Santa Fe, Texas, and Parkland, Florida, and Blacksburg, Virginia, and Newtown, Connecticut, and Tucson, Arizona, and Aurora, Colorado, and on and on and on. And most of that lies with the National Rifle Association, America's wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization. They have, of course, gone to ground at the moment. They'll be quiet for a little bit until they start attacking the kids from Santa Fe, Texas, because Santa Fe, Texas had a March for Our Lives group there, and there was a photograph taken of them a couple of weeks ago, and one wonders if any of the kids in that photograph are dead. There are details, and that's really all you can do with a story like this. Is give the details. There are no answers to be had because everyone within range of my voice knows what the answer is and the answers are. And as a nation, we have no interest in those answers. As a nation, we would prefer to continue going to the funerals of children rather than doing something about the problem. Because the tender, darling, precious feelings of a few million members of a wealthy domestic terror organization are far more important than 10 lives in Santa Fe, Texas, or 14 in Parkland, or. So we know that but we can tally the facts, and that's all we can do. The thoughts and prayers have already rolled out from say the senator and anointed booger-eating future king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time. Rafaelito sent out his thoughts and prayers. And, of course, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is also the recipient of some $77,000 from the National Rifle Association, America's wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization. And there are some things that we know that we can say about the young man who decided to open up the gates of hell in Santa Fe, Texas today. We can, for instance, say that he was a defensive tackle on the junior varsity football team there at the high school and was praised for stopping the run game of another high school in a victory last season, I guess. We can therefore also anticipate that in its ongoing effort to talk about anything but the root cause of these horrors, that the NRA will suddenly become interested, nay, deeply concerned about the possible impacts of head injuries on young student athletes that may have motivated him to turn into a killer. We can also point out a fact from a couple of days ago, the release by the Senate Judiciary Committee of information pertaining to the National Rifle Association. This may have gotten lost in all the shuffle in the ongoing struggle to deal with the flood tide of open flood tide of sewage that comes out of the Republican Party and the Trump regime generally. The Senate Judiciary Committee, in the release of their report, noted that the National Rifle Association spent a record $30 million on the election of Donald Trump. But what is more interesting is the documents in the report that point to the idea that, yes, those lovable wouldn't harm a flea friends of America over in the Kremlin, you know, Mother Russia. Well, just reading directly from the report, documents suggest that the Kremlin used the NRA to offer the campaign a back channel to Moscow. No collusion, no collusion, it's a witch hunt. Including a potential meeting between Trump and Vladimir Putin, and might have secretly funded Trump's campaign, according to the committee. One of the Russians named in the report even bragged she was part of the Trump campaign's communications with Russia. Alexander Torshin figures prominently in the report. He's the deputy governor of the Kremlin's central bank, and his then deputy was Maria Butina. The NRA held its annual convention in Kentucky in 2016, unlike just up the road in Dallas, as they did a couple of weeks ago, before a bunch of children had to die for their paranoid fantasies. Torsion also hosted an NRA delegation in Moscow in 2015. Spanish legal authorities have accused him of being a money launderer for the Russian mobs. And Mirabile Dictu. He's also been sanctioned by the federal government. Paul Erickson of the NRA is mentioned in the report. Among other things, he sent an email to a Trump advisor about setting up a meeting between candidate Trump and lovable, huggable, snuggleable Vladimir Putipoot. In the email, he said, "Putin is deadly serious," and by God, well, Putin is deadly serious about building a good relationship with Mr. Trump. He wants to extend an invitation to Mr. Trump to visit him in the Kremlin before the election. He says they've got some videos they might both enjoy watching. No, I added the part about watching videos. No, he just said, right. No collusion. It's a witch hunt. Yeah, right. Oh, I want to thank... by the way, I want to thank Steve and Georgia Stan and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy for meeting Billable Rick's challenge. Thank you very kindly, Steve, and your entire little family. Thank you very much indeed. And I just got a note from Ralph's. In honor of the National Ruble Association, I'm offering $20. May they rot in hell. Hug. Hugs back, Ralphs. May they rot in hell, indeed. So there's $45 more in challenges on the table, and that'll go a long way toward knocking down this evening. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Steve. And thank you for getting it all started, Billable Rick. Thanks very kindly to our buddy VT Blom in the chat room. We'll put that toward Chris's challenge, meaning there's $15 left on that. Thank you. Steve in New York with a note. Subject line, what does it say about me? I spoke with my partner in Ottawa today. I asked him if he heard about the fuckwad lawyer in New York and his racial epithets. He asked me if I'd heard about what happened in Texas. I honestly didn't know what he meant until I heard him utter the words school shooting after he mentioned it. And I remembered the only thing I could say was another day in America. Because that's what it comes down to. And, you know, the NRA, for all it ballyhoos about its love of America and constitutional rights, the only right they care about is the Second Amendment. And they don't even read that correctly. They certainly don't care about a woman's right to choose. They don't give a good goddamn about not quartering troops. And frankly, they wish that everybody else would shut up with all that free speech they're doing, talking about things like the fact that they're up to their eyeballs in rubles. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. But I understand. I understand, Steve. Don't beat yourself up. But there are facts that we can deal with out of all of this, beyond even things like, you know, the dirty money and the dirty influence and the anti-American inclinations. Look, the president of the NRA is Oliver North, and he's never cared much for giving much of a damn at all, really, about the rule of law. I'm sure there are probably still unburied bones in the jungles of Nicaragua, who, if bones could speak, could tell you that in rich detail. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But in regard to what we know about this particular shooting, like I said, don't be surprised if the NRA starts talking about football games and head injuries and anything to avoid talking about the fact that the two weapons that were used in Santa Fe, Texas today were, of course, legally owned. Mm-hmm. A .38 caliber revolver and a shotgun. The students reported hearing boom, boom, boom. And anybody who knows the difference between the crack of a rifle and the boom of a shotgun will understand exactly what that was about. 10 dead. 10 wounded. At least one adult fighting for his life. Chilling as hell. Like I said, football player, the young man. But also a young man who posted on social media things like a photograph of a T-shirt labeled Born to Kill. Born to Kill. And the fact that he had was in possession of a coat with neo-Nazi insignia or neo-Nazi symbology. Yeah. And as mentioned, he got his guns from Daddy. Yeah. It's Texas, and Daddy owned firearms like you have to own firearms if you live in Texas. Because you want to have some firearms in your home in Texas, because you never know when the ISIS MS-13 Mexican children are going to knock down your door and steal all your freedom. And yeah, here's the weird part. There was apparently no AR-15 involved. Which will be, as perverse as it may sound, which will be used as a talking point by the gun humpers to note that these things can happen without AR-15s, so why are we still talking about banning AR-15s? I don't like being able to think like those people, but after a while you can't help it. You just learn how their creepy little minds work. Mm-hmm. It happened in Texas, and so that meant that there was going to be some bizarreness. Shortly after the emergency response vehicles began speeding toward the high school, a man showed up on the street carrying an American flag, no, really, and immediately KHOU stuck a microphone in his face, he had his Trump Make America Great Again hat on, and he's carrying an American flag. Let's see what he had to say.
What was going through your head when you found out that this was going on?
To the school. Make America Great Again.
By doing what? What was your plan of action?
Offering support. God bless you all. We'll go a long ways right now for a lot of people. Thank you. I'm going to head this way. God bless you all.
And then as he turns with his American flag and his olive drab T-shirt that's got an American flag in outline hanging downward, as he turns, the camera catches the fact that strapped to his hip is a semi-automatic pistol. No, really. A flag and a semi-automatic pistol. He was just going to go and offer up some thoughts and prayers at the school, because you heard him say it. Probably go a long way for some people right now, some thoughts and prayers. Yeah. Well, other witnesses were there to speak to the cameras.
Thank you. We need prayers, okay? We need prayers. This idiot is walking down the street with a damn pistol on his side where we just had kids get shot, okay? I'm a gun rights person. I have guns, okay? But this idiot is walking down here and saying that he needs to make America great again. That's not what America needs. America needs prayers. We don't need this crap. I'm sorry. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in everything. But this guy right here is walking into a crime scene with a pistol on him. And I hope they get him, because this is a crime scene. This is an embarrassment.
Yes. The gentleman is a good, God-fearing, upstanding supporter of the Second Amendment. And the guy in the Trump Make America Great Again hat is embarrassing him. And, of course, he says we need prayers. Prayers is what we need. Kind of missing the point again, but raising another issue. And I want to be clear, I've been guilty of this. One of the elements of any of these sorts of discussions has become saying, I support the Second Amendment, but, or I support gun rights, but, because the gun rights have to be mentioned before the bleeding corpses of the children are mentioned. I mean, we got a Second Amendment for a reason. I got guns. I don't. But what we need now is prayers. Strikes me that the prayers, if you're one of those folks who stands by the usefulness of praying, the prayers would have been better sent up before the trigger was pulled, because it just becomes an exercise in mean-spiritedness after the trigger has been squeezed. Dear God, please let it be somebody else's son. Heavenly Father, please let it be someone else's daughter and not mine. Let this cup pass by me, and let somebody else take a big old swig out of it, Almighty God. Ron, in the, I'm presuming, not frozen part of the frozen north, because I've seen some frozen north lately, courtesy of Chris in the Northwest Territories. Ron says, the Texas dude was probably just on his way to the neighborhood Kroger's and thought he would stop off at the shooting to offer his support before he went down to buy his supply of pig's knuckles and pickled eggs. I wish that was the case, Ron. He said he was on his way to the school. Because, you know, just some prayers might do folks a lot of good. Now, the fact of the matter is, what he was really doing is he saw how much publicity the guy in, Sugar Land? Sunderland Springs. He saw the amount that he got for going in and stopping the shooting, and he was hoping he might get to, that's why he had his pistol. He was hoping he might get to shoot somebody. It was later reported, in fact, that law enforcement authorities did stop him. But it might be beneficial at this point to set the Wayback Machine to a couple of weeks ago in Dallas, Texas. Here, then, the president of the United States of America.
Let's listen now at a prisoner forum summit the president at the White House.
At Santa Fe High School in Texas just took place moments ago.
Oh, wait, this is his response to the shooting. Get the hockey puck.
We're closely monitoring the situation, and federal authorities are coordinating with local officials. This has been going on too long in our country, too many years, too many decades now. We grieve for the terrible loss of life and send our support and love to everyone affected by this absolutely horrific attack. To the students, families, teachers, and personnel at Santa Fe, hi.
Hi. He's proud of his big words today, but the fact of the matter is, instead of the word horrific there, Nectarine Nero, you might use the words ordinary and predictable, or entirely expected, or reasonable and foreseeable, if you want to sound like one of those hotshot lawyers that keep refusing to work for you. But he had been at the NRA convention a couple of weeks before, at which point he informed the mouth-breathing knuckle-walkers there assembled your rights are under siege, but they will never be under siege as long as I am your president. I wish these miserable bastards would stop tweaking the goddess of irony on her on her little pink nose. Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek also spoke to them there at the NRA Clavern. We say to the students, families, and teachers of... That was what he said today. We say to the students, families, and teachers of all those affected in the entire community, we're with you. You're in our prayers, and I know you're in the prayers of the American people. But they weren't in his prayers a couple of weeks ago, because that's when he said to the NRA Clavern, I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and I'm a card-carrying member of the NRA. That's what he said a couple of weeks ago. And then there's one of the students from Santa Fe High School, a young woman. And she probably encapsulated more reality in what she said than entire paragraphs by the likes of Meta Mussolini and Mike Pencilneck Geek.
I managed to keep calm through it all. There was another girl who was just freaking out. They were struggling really hard to keep her calm. It was really scary.
Was there a part of you that was like, this isn't real, this would not happen in my school?
No. There wasn't.
Why so?
It's been happening everywhere. I've always kind of felt like eventually it was going to happen here too.
This is the modern fatalism of a child, quite possibly, well, certainly, not even two decades old. I figured it was going to happen here too. And I suspect that if you surveyed every high school student in the United States or built yourself a statistically valid model for surveying them, you would probably find that there aren't many places in the United States of America where those students don't expect it to also happen to them. Because the fact of the matter is they understand the problem better than most of the adults and all of the NRA supporters. Because it can happen anywhere. Because the National Rifle Association's roulette wheel of death, the NRA death lottery, can touch any part of this country. And with today's today's news out of Santa Fe, Texas, Holy Faith, Texas, we passed a bit of a milestone. More school children have been killed in 2018 than members of the armed services in our various foreign wars and non-combat deaths. The Washington Post writes, initial estimates put the number killed at Santa Fe High School at 10. We can compare that to figures for the military compiled from the Defense Department news releases, including both combat and non-combat deaths, even excluding non-students who died in school shootings, for example, teachers. The total still exceeds military casualties. That's 2018. Dr. John offers a note in that regard. And wait a second. Damn mail app crashed. Just a second. There we go. Dr. John says, contrary to what some right-wingers say, soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen are not expendable. When something's killing them out of proportion, we study and fix the problem. Vaccinations after World War I. Up-armored vehicles after IEDs became a thing in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so on. Children, it seems, says Dr. John, are expendable because even if the CDC says that they'd, or say the, the American Academy of Pediatrics wants to list firearms as a mortality risk for children in America, which they are. The National Rifle Association is so goddamn powerful that they can get that shut down. Compare what you've heard thus far, especially the words of the young woman from Santa Fe High School, well, that's a trenchant observation, Laurel, up in Minnesota. How in the world can one be optimistic about the future of a nation that has declared war on its very own children? So true. But compare the words of the young woman in the aftermath of the shooting with the formal official statement of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, who is bought and paid for by the National Rifle Association. Speaking to reporters in Santa Fe, because he beat a hot path there.
Once again, Texas has seen the face of evil.
Better be careful with your words there, Rafaelito, because you were in Texas.
What happened this morning here in Santa Fe defies words. The agony, the hell that parents, that this community is going through is unimaginable. Every one of us that's a parent that sends our sons or daughters off to school in the morning to have this horror greet them. There's been too damn many of these. Texas has seen too damn many of these.
Speaking to the residents of Santa Fe, he said,
"You're being lifted up in prayer by millions of people across the country and across the world."
Yeah. They may be being lifted up in prayers, but they're being let down real hard in terms of actual policy to make this stop happening. And by the way, Steve wants to know, Steve in New York, did he have an Only God Can Judge Me tattoo, the guy with the flag and the gun? They didn't zoom in that closely, Steve. Wouldn't surprise me a dime's worth if he did. Or maybe a melon lave tattoo or something, you know, wash your melon. That's what the young woman was sporting as she graduated from Kent State University, or Kent University in Ohio recently, as she took her diploma. She walked away with an AR-15 slung across her back and "Come and Take It" written on top of her mortarboard hat. Because she feels like she's being, she feels like during her 4 years at Kent, that she was persecuted because she wasn't allowed to carry her goddamned AR-15 to class every day and terrorize everyone in her classroom. But as an adult and a graduate of the college, she could. And she has been lifted up, to use Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's words, she's been lifted up by the NRA and gun humpers everywhere as a martyr and a victim of civil rights suppression. Yeah. Note coming in from Lee in New York. From the Trump Television Network, in its partnership with Sinclair Broadcasting, the new season of NRA TV's reality series More Guns at More Schools has begun. Last season ended with the cliffhanger of Parkland students. The audience was left wondering what the new season would bring. Good guys with guns? New laws? People defending their rights? The wait is now over. The intro to the new season starts off with smiling rebuttal to the past. Not last year, 1970. In this flashback, the murderous Ohio National Guard was dispatched to wage war on students who did not want to wage war on Vietnam. If they were not going to be killed by Viet Cong over there, they might as well be killed by the National Guard over here. Let the battle commence. Commence. That word's so significant. For it was Caitlin Bennett's commencement that freed her from the shackles of student life to the freedom of open carry on campus.
The image fades to a dream scene where she puts on her come-and-take-it mortarboard and unleashes AR-10 fire that mows down the deep state National Guard forces to rescue the students from oppressive government. The battlefield fades, and we're back in 2018. Thankfully, Caitlin returns before she can be arrested for murdering law enforcement officials carrying out their duty. The next episode takes place in Santa Fe, Texas. Students are reading Fahrenheit 451. The fire alarm goes off. The students who did not read the book are unaware that all fire alarms are false since only books are burned. When outside, these Darwin Award winners are given an education in the Second Amendment. If they paid attention to social studies, U.S. government, or whatever the liberal elites call it now, they would know that a good guy with a gun always kills the bad guy with a gun. They failed the test of life and do not graduate, because if they were actually the good guys, they would have had guns. Precisely, Lee. Precisely. Sorry, Jim. Jim said I had hoped that we wouldn't be talking about today's horror. However, it's not for me to decide. Hopefully you and your group can approach making success of the underlying cause of these continuing tragedies. I don't know how much real intellectual skull sweat has to go into sorting out the cause. The cause is the Second Amendment, or more particularly, the cause is a severely misguided reading of the Second Amendment. Isn't it interesting that the Constitution contains lots of stuff that we don't pay attention to anymore? Like the person who comes in second becoming the vice president. Yeah, we got around that right quick. Or, hey, the three-fifths clause. Some might say that it's not technically observed, but it still has a sort of a lingering after effect. But we don't actually run around saying that people of color are three-fifths of a human being anymore. But by God, when it comes to the Second Amendment, well, we take that to mean that everybody gets a gun. Our buddy Todd says, I wonder what Neil Young has to say about this incident. I imagine there are several songs we could probably call up that would address that issue. And yes, Arnold, I agree with you. Fuck the NRA. Well, I mean, I agree with you and I don't. I do not wish to have sex with anyone at the NRA. Dude. But it is the persistence of ignorance, or the persistent desire to pursue a falsehood, that leads to these events. And yeah, the fact that it was a shotgun and a revolver does complicate the issue, because it makes clear that banning assault weapons is not an answer. I'll say here the thing that makes the National Rifle Association jump up and down and masturbate with their hands down their pants. It is the easy access to guns of all sorts that makes this happen. I will remind folks, and myself as well, that in the days of the well-regulated militia, which states organized because there wasn't much in the way of a standing federal army, and they didn't want one either, they wanted their own militias in case Georgia needed to go to war against North Carolina, or in case New Hampshire needed to duke it out with Massachusetts. That's what those were for. Not to mention slaughtering the indigenous people who had been here for a few millennia. Ron and Raleigh with a question. When and if Caitlin Bennett up there at Kent gets a job, do you think she'll be toting her gun to work, or will her employer be suppressing her civil rights? Well, I imagine she'll probably wind up with, you know, you do that kind of crap because you want a job with the NRA, Ron. Yeah. Note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. When you came back on Monday, I sent you a message saying, for once, you stepped away from the microphone for a couple of days and we didn't have to endure a school massacre. I guess I was just a few days off in being entirely wrong. I thought about that myself. Point taken, Flavio. Wrong, Bob. People of color are no longer three-fifths of a person. They're just animals now. Not people. Just animals. Ooh, but super predators brought to heel. Hillary. Ooh, 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 ooh. I know. You know, we've made a running joke on this program out of my lack of talent with ciphering. But the truth be told, in my little public school education, I took all the college-bound classes I could take. I missed out on a couple. I didn't take senior biochem because 11th grade chemistry had just made my head swim. But most of the time I could be found in the fine arts portion of the high school I went to. And all high schools look different, but I thought about those days when I read that the shooting started in the art room, in the art classroom. Again, a young man with right-wing tendencies and a jock showed up with his father's legal firearms and opened fire inside the art classroom. That was not lost on me. Way, way, way back when we rode dinosaurs to my high school, there was a clear social delineation between the freaks and the jocks and the socials and the artsy people. There is a sexuality euphemism that is vile and vulgar that I will not use, that was used to describe those of us who participated in things like theater and speech and music and visual arts. But that was not lost on me. Is that just the first classroom that he came to? Or was there a reason? I guess we'll have to wait to find out. Then there's the thing that Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, said. It's time in Texas that we take action. We want to hear from everybody, he said, in announcing that there would be roundtable discussions with parents, students, concerned citizens, and others just as soon as possible. There will be no room in that discussion for anyone who wants to suggest that as long as anybody can get their hands on firearms as easily as we can, that this will continue to happen. That as long as private ownership of firearms is worshipped as some sort of sacrament, that these horrors will continue to unfold. There will be no room in that concept. Or in that conversation, for that concept. Nope. There will be a lot of talk about reducing the number, because Abbott was talking about this earlier, There'll be a lot of talk about reducing the number of access points in the school. And making it and staggering the times at which children come to school, because there aren't enough school resource officers. The school resource officer in this case was shot early on and was in critical condition at the hospital, last article I saw, because of a massive amount of blood lost. Getting smarter, the kids are, the killer kids are. Take out the school resource officer first. But it does not matter how many hardened bunkers we turn our schools into. It does not matter if we put an entire phalanx of school resource officers into the high schools. It does not matter if we turn the schools into a fucking armed camp of good guys with guns. Understand this much, please, and maybe this is the only point worth really taking away from all of this this navel-gazing. Every time you hear some Republican, and it's almost always a Republican, and it's almost always somebody that has had their pockets stuffed by the National Rifle Association, every time you hear them talking about things that we can do, active countermeasures against teenagers who go wild with their daddy's guns, what you're actually hearing is a plea to protect the firearms. If a pistol cost, say, $10,000 on the black market, and people couldn't have pistols, you would not have a whole lot of school shootings, because there just aren't a bunch of 10th or 11th grade junior varsity defensive tackles who have $10,000 to spend on a pistol. I'll say something that, it'll go over like a turd in a punch bowl here in West Virginia, but I'll say this. This country needs to be disarmed. Because until such time as they are, this continues to happen. We average one school shooting per week now in the United States of America in 2018. And the fact of the matter is, if you take necessary precautions in your home and some bad person gets through the door after you've locked it and deadbolted it, and after you've got alarms on the windows, then they're pretty well determined to kill you anyway. And your odds are not good, even if you've got a machine gun nest just outside the bathroom door. You have done something to make yourself attractive to someone who wants to kill your ass. And this. It's already been announced that the young man who did the slaughtering has been charged as an adult. It didn't take terribly long back in Florida for the authorities there to announce that they would pursue the death penalty against Nicholas Cruz. And nobody is as eager to impose the death penalty as folks in Texas are. Sorry, good liberal progressive Texans and friends of the program. I mean no insult to you by that, but you probably know better than I. But here's the question. How did young Dimitrios Pagurtsis, aged 17, how did he get his hands on daddy's guns? Do you think he had to wait until daddy was passed out drunk and then go and find where daddy hid the key to the gun safe and open the gun safe and then go and find the key that daddy used on the trigger locks for the .38 and the 12-gauge shotgun? Yeah, me neither. It's Texas. The guns were probably proudly displayed, say, maybe in the den, in maybe a glass-fronted gun cabinet. And all he had to do was walk in and open the cabinet and take out the shotgun and the pistol, and away he went. Trigger lock. What the hell good is a gun if it's got a trigger lock on it when them 9-year-old members of the MS-13 ISIS come barreling over the drier parts of the Rio Grande and come looking for your freedom? Ain't no sense in having a gun if you can't use a gun to defend your home right there when you need it. That's why the ammunition's already in it. Dimitrios Patsourgas apparently told law enforcement that he had intended to kill himself after he did his deed, but he didn't run out of bullets, he ran out of courage. He had the courage to slaughter other children, but not the courage to kill himself. So, Mr. Patsourgas, and I do not mean to come across as lacking in sympathy here, Mr. Patsourgas is, and I presume Dimitrios Patsourgas' mama, are racked with agony right now. For what their 17-year-old boy has done. Since he was on the football team, I presume that Dimitrios had friends. And they're trying to sort out what the hell went wrong. And so consequently, the question, you know, the students who knew him will wonder, and a couple other people were taken into custody as persons of interest, and CNN reports there were homemade bombs found around the school. Apparently this was supposed to be bigger than it was. What a horrifying thought that is. But here's a real question. Or at least it's a real hypothetical question. What of Daddy Patsourgas? What of any person who leaves firearms and ammunition easily accessible by their to their children? Is it not reasonable and foreseeable that if you make firearms accessible, that something bad will very likely eventually happen? Like the any number of toddler stories we've had of toddlers killing mamas, toddlers killing siblings, because the firearms are just left laying around. Well, in Texas, I'm sure that if I was to get some Texas lawyer on, they'd probably say, "Well, Bob, there's not a jury in Texas that'd convict that man. It's an essential part of our freedom as Texans to leave our guns laying around just in case we have to shoot it out with the 9-year-old members of MS-13 ISIS, or maybe even shoot it out with the federales. Because we're all about our freedom in Texas." Ron asks, Ron in the far thought out north, "Wonder how long it's going to take for someone on the fright wing before they play on the young shooter's name and link all of this horrible behavior to immigration. I mean, just look at the name. That's one of them Muslim names, ain't it? Sure ain't a real American name. Like Smith or Jones." Yeah. Lee with a note says, "Gun at home. Most criminals who get into your house want to steal stuff. They do not want to kill you. It is only the people set on killing you who try to kill you. Don't let the NRA convince you that the person who wants your flat-screen TV will only take it after killing you first." It's absolutely true. That's why I said, if after locking the doors and the deadbolts and the alarm system and everything, if somebody goes to all the trouble of getting through into your home and they mean to kill you, it is because you have done something to make them very badly want to kill you. Lee's right. Nobody wants to bump you off over your TV. Earther with a note says, "That's why I'm patenting a 2A friendly sex toy. I'm going to make a strap-on with a built-in hip holster, so if the missus is pegging her partner and an ISIS breaks in, she's ready. I'll just slap a sticker on it: don't shoot your partner." Probably make some money on that, Earther. Note from Jim. Regarding my statement that the United States needs to be disarmed, Jim asks, "How? As long as the Second Amendment is fetishized and monetized by massive power bases, I cannot see the solution, noble indeed, but not workable, like Prohibition." Really? I didn't say it was practical. I didn't even say it was doable. But it's the only thing that's even going to make any difference. And we can't even bring ourselves, most people, even on our side, are willing to make that statement because it, among other things, if this was a program that had a million listeners a week, it would get out there. The NRA would fulminate to its till hell wouldn't hold it, and it would all be about how, you know, they see that liberal Kincaid wants to take away people's rights, people's essential civil rights, when the Second Amendment is the only reason he's got a First Amendment right to say that filthy shit, like taking away guns. Sadly, the pragmatism that Jim offers up is more realistic than what I said. And the fact of the matter is, that means there's going to be more and more and more. And every high school student in this country, every middle school student in this country, and even the little primary students who don't necessarily understand exactly what's going on, you know, like the kids at Sandy Hook, will continue to die because of Ollie North, Gunrunner, because of Dana Lush, because of Coleon Noir and Greg Stinkfield and Wayne the Peter, these godforsaken millionaires speaking up for a relative minority of people in this country who feel like they have a right to keep firearms and don't care how many children have to die to prove it. And that's pretty much it. So it's 10 minutes past the hour. And it's time for us to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you'd like to participate, again, all you have to do is get on Skype and send a contact request to SparkyDunk, SparkyDunc. And that'll pretty much get you moving toward the conversation. Arnold with a note said, kid probably couldn't get laid. On the other hand, he says, everyone here was an art room kid. Man, that's messed up. Yeah, it is. Todd says, what you were saying sounds good until you talk about black people, the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and plain old hateful white folks. There are folks who are willing to break into a black person's house to go there. By the way, Texas, maybe just today, it's too large. It should be cut into three sections. Or maybe five. Maybe there shouldn't be a state in the Union bigger than, Massachusetts. Funny how those tiny little New England states are the ones that actually manage to practice real democracy, isn't it? But I get your point, Todd. But then again, even the brutalities of lynching only happened after the United States government abandoned Reconstruction and took the occupying Union forces out of the South and allowed the South to win the post-war insurgency. Food for thought. $15 remaining on Chris's challenge, and there is $20 remaining on Ralph's challenge. And that would get us very, very close to just done with the evening if people respond to that. So let's take a break and fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and see what's on folks' minds. Because, you know, oddly enough, there's other news out there today. And it's significant, too. While we're mourning the children of Santa Fe, Texas, there are 100 families mourning a downed, crashed Boeing 737 that was trying to leave a Havana Air 737 trying to make it from, you know, Havana to Guyana and didn't make it much past the runway. Yeah. This is listener-supported conversation radio, Friday on the Front Porch. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Finally. soldiers and Nixon's coming. We're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming. For dead in Ohio. 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 How many more? For dead in Ohio.
Under the circumstances, that bumper almost had to happen. Neil Young, Ohio. And it's 16 minutes past the hour. We are fully connected with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Based on what I'm seeing from the live webcam out the man cave door, it looks like a beautiful, sunny, late Friday, mid-late spring afternoon out there in Northern California. Do I have it right, Sparky?
No, Bob, that's not a live webcam. That's a static shot from last week.
Okay, so that part's not right, but it's is it a beautiful late afternoon, Friday in the middle of late spring kind of day out there?
Yeah, the wind's died down. It's 89 degrees. The rancher got the hay turned today, so we'll start baling it here sometime in the next day or so. And they do it. Start doing it at dusk, which is bad because the noise keeps on going all night long.
Oh, yeah, it's an all-night affair?
Yeah. So there's that. And other than that, I got a new project coming up. I'm becoming a monitor repairman. My 27-inch monitor died from the computer station in the house, so I had to get a new 27-inch monitor. And then I started thinking, well, what's it take to fix one of these damn things? So I started going to YouTube and start educating.
Oh, the curse of the old inside wire, man. This thing runs on electricity. I'll bet I can fix it.
Well, I dabbled in electronics in high school and stuff. College. So I got it out here. I got it open and everything. Got to the power supply. Sure enough, I could see the capacitors were bad on it. This capacitors now, I mean, they got little marks on the top of them, X's, and, I mean, the lines are off. And the top puffs up if they go bad.
So you just got to find the capacitor and you're good?
Yeah, I got some capacitors coming. Hopefully, I got the right ones. But anyway, and then desoldering them. When I got a solder sucker coming and some mesh to get this help get the solder off.
Well, you know what they say: idle hands are the devil's plaything. So, at least you're not going to be idle.
No, when it gets here, I might wait till my minion comes over and educate him on something.
Hey, that could be handy. That's the transmission of knowledge. What an idea.
Yeah, I try to do that every time it comes over. I had to scream at him last night. I mean, they're the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen. Starting a frickin' fire at dark and burning up some old... an old bed frame or something, and it was probably made of press board or something, had all kinds of good chemicals and glues and stuff in it, and it burned like the flames were like 10 feet tall on it.
Now, this was your minion?
Well, him and his dad across the street, and I yelled over to him. I said, "What the heck are you burning?" "So my old bed frame or something," he says. And I said, "There's toxic smoke." It was right at dusk. There was toxic. You could see the black smoke coming off.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't burn the way branches and leaves and stuff do.
No. And I said, "Don't breathe that stuff. Get away from there." And then I come in the house and Judy could smell it. And she says, what's going on? I said, well, they're burning something across the street. She goes, I can smell it. So I didn't report them or anything. I wouldn't be in a...
You were actually trying to keep them from hurting themselves. Don't breathe that shit. Mm-hmm. That's called being a good neighbor.
Yeah, so that's what I did last night, being my neighborly stuff, I guess.
Well, good on you. That's a good way to be.
Because
if you'd just been an asshole, you would have just turned him in.
Yeah, I could just call 911, say my neighbor.
Well, I mean,
it's illegal to burn right now.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, isn't there a risk that, you know, that could just set everything from, everything from where you are to, like, you know, where Clarity is on fire?
No, but it's just the air quality board regulates when you can burn here, if you can burn. Within the city limits of Red Bluff, you can't burn anything. There's too many people bitch about it, but out here for certain times of the year, you call the air quality board, and they'll tell you whether it's a burn day or not.
And yesterday was not a burn day.
Oh, no, that ends, it's like the 1st of May or something, it ends. You can't burn all summer long. No way, no how. It's California. You can't. So anyway, I could have got him in big trouble. Other than that, I've been multitasking. I'm watching the Fiesta Party or Latin Party at the racist Aaron Schlossenberg's house on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's somehow we've missed that story. I mean, I guess most people have seen it now. But
there's a couple hundred people there, at least. They got a mariachi band. They're partying.
Cops not doing anything about it?
Well, they got them all barricaded off. And their cops are guarding the entrance to his apartment building.
He's probably gone for the weekend.
They just got a bullhorn they're using. But they had a mariachi band. They're playing that one Mexican tune. I don't know what you call it. You know, everybody knows it.
Yeah, but I'm...
Da, 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 you know.
Da, 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 da,
da, da.
Yeah, never heard it.
And then otherwise, at multitasking, I'm watching NASCAR All-Star Race qualifying, where they do the unlimited pit road speed and get the pit crews involved on it, too.
Just so people can know, I've got the clip here of the racist might-be-a-lawyer there in New York. I mean, this is at Fresh Kitchen in, you know, Manhattan, for God's sakes, where, you know, there are so many languages spoken in Manhattan. The fact that this guy could single one out, but it turns out he's got a history of racist interactions with other people. And let me see if I can get this, audio to play. Might take me a second.
You can do it, Bob.
Well, thank you for believing in me. Hopefully all my tabs won't die once I have to... You know, Firefox just behaves really weirdly sometimes.
And, they all do.
Okay, it won't take me a second. Ah, there he is. Probably has something to do with the fact that I keep about 1,000 tabs open for any given program. So this happened a couple of days ago in Manhattan. The guy's name is Aaron Schlossberg. And who knows what he was getting at Fresh Market, but he heard two people speaking Spanish, or at least he thought it was Spanish, and proceeded to have a little MAGA hissy.
Clients at your staff is speaking Spanish to customers when they should be speaking.
Being very violent. I mean, sometimes they do.
Every person I listen to, he spoke it, she's speaking it. It's America.
He's
fucked up.
He's very ignorant. And he shouldn't be allowed.
I will be following up. And my guess is they're not documented. So my next call is to ICE to have Ecuador kicked out of my country. If they have the balls to come here and live off of my money, I pay for their welfare. I pay for their ability to be here.
You know, I try to refrain from using it a whole bunch, but sometimes it's just irresistible, and you've got to check in with Professor Spicoli.
You dick!
Because I pay for their welfare. I pay for them to be... Bullshit! You don't pay... Oh, my God. So it turns... But you referenced him, Sparky, and it turns out this jerk has a history of attacking immigrants. And I'm guessing with a name like Schlossberg, I'm guessing that's not an old, Pequod name or an old Iroquois name. No, they came here at some point in time when the borders were pretty much open to anybody who didn't have tuberculosis. So now they're having a taco party and a mariachi band in front of his house. And lately he's been having to run away from everybody. He's been hiding, wearing ski caps in the middle of freaking May in Manhattan and hiding under umbrellas and running away from camera crews. That's the fun thing about these racists is that they're all bold when they decide to channel their inner Klansmen. But then if people want to look at them and examine them and say, hey, look, there's a racist, how about that? They run away.
Hold him up as an example. I heard they kicked him out of his office building.
They kicked him out of his office building, and what's more, I guess somebody wanted to find, and maybe Steve in New York might know more a little bit more about this. Somebody filed a bar complaint on him with the New York State Bar, and the New York State Bar said, we don't have a member by that name.
Uh-oh.
So,
was he practicing law without a shingle?
Who knows? And meanwhile, down in Philly, and this will, I think Todd's listening, this will do his heart good, and probably does Clarence's heart good, too. Xenophobic Rage Barbie, Tommy Lauren, showed up at a speaking gig in Philly, and as soon as people saw her, a group formed around her on the street, yelling, shame, shame. She's on what she calls her Family Freedom and Final Thoughts tour. Oh, if only they were her final thoughts. But then again, you'd have to have a first thought, which means you'd have to have a thought before anything could be final. And that people showed up with signs that said, tonight only, Nazi Barbie.
Speaking of that, do you think that gal in Kent State's going after Dana Loesch's job?
Oh, I don't think she's going after Dana's job. I think she wants another job like Dana's. Because the NRA has unlimited money. I mean, they're doing business with people with a country that gets to print their own, and I think you can still convert rubles to dollars.
I'm sure you can.
So that's probably what she wants.
They'll probably run with Bitcoin.
I wouldn't be surprised if they already are, Steve. Well, this is an awkward silence. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, Bob, I just interjected. I didn't want to jump in on stepping on you and Duncan's conversation. I was enjoying listening to you guys converse.
Well, you jumped in with both feet.
Well, I did. I probably should have done that. So, resume.
Well, no, I mean, that's the way this is supposed to work.
All right, so what's going on, Brother Bob?
End of the week. Looks like it's going to rain all weekend. But here, I'll see your I'll see your pastrami and raise you two racks of ribs.
Oh man, man, I've been in food heaven for the last couple of days, and I don't even want to go there. You kind of feel guilty with all the carnage going on, but you know life's got to go on, man.
Well, it does, and. I was just hearing about this when I bought my ribs this morning, so it's not like I'm going to try to take them back.
No, you can't.
So I've peeled that that membrane off the back.
Oh yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, and
that's necessary.
And so they're soaking in brine with a healthy dose of pickling spice and a little bit of cider vinegar and some pineapple juice.
Oh man, you got to do that overnight or?
Yeah, and there's ice in there, and I've got the bucket covered with foil, and they'll do that overnight. Then tomorrow morning, and I may have to do it in the pouring rain because that's all it's doing is raining. But tomorrow morning, I'll take them out, and I'll pat them dry, and then I'll put the rub on them, and I'll let them sit with the rub on them for about 6, 7, 8 hours, and then late tomorrow evening I'll put them on the not late, but you know about 5 o'clock. I'll put them on the smoker, and they'll be ready by, you know, 9. Or maybe I'll just let them sit in the fridge and do them up early on Sunday and have them for Sunday dinner.
Now, can you throw a rain cover over your grilling area? Is that an option? Or
No, not really. I've got a I'd like to get one someday. You know, just one of those tents that doesn't have walls.
Right, yeah. Just plug in the ground and just keep the rain off your head while you're cooking, yeah. At least, you know. But you know, I tell you, Bob, it's been tough. I try to take a break from politics, but then things like today happen, and you feel guilty taking a break from it. You know, you feel like you're not doing your civic duty, taking a break. You feel like you're copping out or something. We are failing our children.
Well, we aren't. You aren't. I'm not. I mean, maybe, you know, on a personal level, maybe Agnes and I have failed our children in some way, but every parent does that, okay? You second guess yourself.
I don't even have kids, and I feel like I have failed.
But as a nation, okay, but we're failing our kids as a nation, but you know, we want reasonable solutions, rational solutions. We're not the ones failing. It's every member of the NRA, Steve. It's every member of Gun Humpers of America.
We have sat back and watched incrementally for the last 20 plus years, watch this terrorist organization, and let's just call it what the fuck they are. They're a bunch of goddamn terrorists. Take over and seize all this power, and now look what it's begotten us. Our children are being slaughtered, and goddamn, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it goes back to the weaponization of an organization that was originally founded to teach people to be more accurate shots. It was literally
right.
It was a target shooting club.
Back in the 50s, it was organized to teach you how to responsibly handle weapons.
Hunter safety courses.
Exactly, Duncan. Thank you.
I went through one.
Yep. But now it's evolved to, I mean, we've got some hee-haw out here in Georgia. His name's Brian Kemp. My God, have you seen any of his commercials?
Oh, yeah, the one, well, first, there's the one where he points a shotgun at a young man who is ostensibly his daughter's beau.
A suitor for his daughter, right. And he has this young man speaking back to him, literally reiterating the joys of gun ownership. And it's like, if I miss a word, this son of a bitch has got a gun pointed at my head, even though it's not loaded. I mean, I don't want to overinflate this, but still, the implication is there. And if anybody hasn't seen it, I encourage you to, because that's where we're headed. And if we don't do something, if we don't put our foot in the ring and turn this shit around, we're all fucked, man. I'm sorry, Bob. I shouldn't be dropping F-bombs on your show.
No. Drop more. You're free to. I mean, this is where you can do that.
I know, but I don't mean to disrespect the horn, but you understand what I'm trying to say, correct?
Sure.
And he's got a part two. It's all about explosions. It's all about chainsaws. Everything that is manly in a manly man's head, or what their stereotypical version of a man is, that's what this son of a bitch is trying to portray. And he's got a cult following out here. At first, when I watched this shit, I thought, man, I'm being punked by Trey Parker from South Park. This can't be for real. But it is.
And all of this madness is real.
And we've got to intervene. It's up to us. I mean, we have let our children down long enough. We have, I don't know how, and maybe that's where you can help me out, Bob, but we've got to intervene, you know, nonviolently. We got to take to the streets. We have to do something. This cannot go on, or we're witnessing the destruction of our own existence. And I don't mean to sound overstated or hyperbole or anything, but this is really getting out of hand, brother. It is really getting out of hand, man.
Well, the whole country's out of hand, Steve. On almost every front. I've got, it's not a joke. I keep probably 20, 30 tabs open during a program because, I read that much just preparing for the program. And so, let's just see. Let's just run through a few stories. I got one here that shows a man with a shaven head. One of his eyes is blacked and closed. He's got a shiner under the other eye. He's got marks and abrasions and contusions all over his head. And you're thinking, oh, he must be a victim. No, he's a perp. He's an ex-con from Atlanta, and a little more than a week or so ago, he ordered some delivery food, and the delivery driver showed up, and she was wearing the full coverage niqab, not just the headgear, the whole body covering, and 54-year-old Rick Painter attacked her and grabbed her from behind and hollered that he was Jesus. And Sonia King, the delivery driver, proceeded to beat the holy fuck out of him. She said when she got the call and did the delivery, she said he seemed normal. Anybody would have gone in. And she said as he went to give her a tip, he said, by the way, I'm Jesus. And then she said, he's grabbing me and trying to choke me with my own niqab. I kept telling that man I got kids. In the midst of me fighting him, he's grabbing my head. He thought he was Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't do that to nobody. And she proceeded to gouge and poke and beat the living shit out of him. And you can't just deal with a story like that by saying, well, there's crazy people in every country. I mean, no, in Trump-merica, that has become acceptable conduct. attacking.
Commonplace.
Commonplace, acceptable conduct, attacking Muslims. Then there's the state of Maryland, in which, it's in the southern part of the state, the county there, Culvert County.
Oh, God.
You know Culvert County, do you, Steve?
Yeah, I lived in Maryland, Bob.
I know you did, so.
Yeah.
Not Culvert, Calvert. A culvert's a ditch.
Yep.
Calvert County.
Yeah. There's pockets that are extremely progressive, then you got pockets. I believe that's where the Klan got started at. Correct me if I'm wrong, but headquarters.
Well, the Klan got started in Pulaski, Tennessee, under the tutelage and leadership of General Nathan Bedford Forrest. But that's a discussion for another.
All right. Well,
I'm sure they rose up there too. But down there in Calvert County, they put up a sign that said, "Hey, liberals, better get your guns if you try to impeach President Trump from all of your deplorables in Calvert County." Again, new normal. Michelle Rinker of Maryland was interviewed by WJLA TV, and she said, "I love the billboard. If you attempt to take down a good president, there's going to be a problem." You know, she doesn't give a shit about the Constitution. What else? Let's see. Here's another one. We're just kind of marching through some things here. Oklahoma.
Morons on parade.
Yeah, that's exactly. Wait a minute. We'll need reverb for that. Morons on parade. Is that kind of what you had in mind, Sparky?
Yep.
Out in Oklahoma, Stan, you know, buying yourself a brand new AR-15 Freedom Protector is a cause for celebration. I mean, you might celebrate so much that you go out and you get your AR-15 and you stop by the liquor store on the way home. So you can celebrate in high style. Get you a big old 1 liter bottle. See, there I, Robert, are you listening in Australia? There I was. I used the metric system. Get you a big old 1 liter bottle of old Panther piss, you know, 115 proof. And, you know, you don't need no shot glass nor no tumbler nor nothing. It comes in its own glass. So you just hoist straight out of the bottle. And he celebrated by, well, he celebrated, let's call it Saddam Hussein style by firing his AR-15 off into the air randomly.
Oh, God.
And I don't mean like he went bang, bang. He went bang, 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 bang. Dozens and dozens of rounds he just shot off into the air.
And what goes up must come down.
And it did.
Fill in the blanks.
It did. It did. A half a mile away, one of the bullets came down and struck the crib of a baby.
Oh, God.
But, you know, hey, it was 1:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. And Andrea Johnson heard the loud noise there in Moore, Oklahoma, Stan. But it wasn't until the next day when she noticed the damn bullet damage on her baby's crib. I saw this piece of wood that was kind of messed up in the bar of his crib. I thought it was kind of funny. Well, he is teething. Maybe he chewed on it. Maybe he ninja kicked it in his sleep. He kicks a lot. You know, then there's the Jethro Bodine defense. You know, born with a full set of teeth, just like a beaver. But no, she said, when I pulled his crib back is when I saw something on the ground, bent down, picked it up, and realized it was a bullet. And that's when I just absolutely lost it, she said. Police said the bullet pierced an outside wall, the living room ceiling, a second interior wall, and finally was stopped by the crib bar. Investigators told the mother, a man who lives about a half a mile away, fired off nearly 30 rounds from a newly purchased gun while drunk, and they suspect he fired the bullet that struck her baby's crib. And she went on, and this sort of echoes what Dr. John said in his note earlier in the program. She said, my husband's been to war 3 different times. He's been shot at, but nothing as close as to my son. A 1-year-old almost got shot by a bullet. And that's the end of the story.
That's the price of freedom, Bob.
Well, it is billable, Rick, but there's no part of the story where it says the Oklahoma man was taken into fucking custody.
Oh, well, he was just target practice, Bob. Come on, he was just, you know, having
fun. Well, you know, if God is the target, I mean, you know, shooting into the sky.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, we need comic relief.
Oh, man.
We do need comic relief, Steve, and thank you very kindly for it.
Oh, that's a good one. The cowbell there, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very clever.
Yeah,
clever.
Moved, seconded, and without discussion, it is awarded by acclamation.
Steve from Bubblegum Stanania, or whatever you want to call it. Bubblegumistan, or whatever. That was good the other week.
Oh, yeah. That goes down in horn history. Yeah, you're gonna have your colonoscopy, and you're gonna see a piece of bubble gum you chewed in 1984. That was a beautiful thing, Steve. A beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That's I'm hanging on to that like I am John Goodman doing Rexon Tillerson. One day you're the CEO of the most powerful corporation in the world, and the next minute you're getting fired by a man who sold meat through the mail. It's still good. It is still. By the way, Rexon Tillerson, he threw some shade toward Meta Mussolini recently. Did you catch that?
No.
Yeah. He was delivering some sort of an address or writing something or. Hang on here. I'll get it in a minute.
Did he call him an effing moron again or something?
This time.
Commencement?
Yeah, I think it was a commencement address, Sparky.
He's got to do something to make money because he's got that really paltry retirement savings from working at Exxon, right? Like, there's only got to be like 25 or 40 million left in it, you know?
Ah, there it is. There it is. 2 days ago. Rexon Tillerson, who I'm still hard-pressed to think of as my buddy or a friend of freedom or anything like that, in his first major address since leaving Washington, Tillerson told graduates at the Virginia Military Institute, you know, I drove right by Lexington, Virginia on the way home, the cadets of Virginia Military Institute marched off the entire cadet corps and fought the Battle of New Market up the road in Virginia. It was one of the last victories of the Confederate Army in the Civil War, and they got slaughtered almost to a man. You know, we're talking about 13 and 14 year olds that were sent off to fight.
Yes.
But speaking at VMI, and you know, VMI is kind of like the Citadel. You graduate from VMI, you get a you've got a commission in the military. If you follow that track. He said, if our leaders seek to conceal the truth, or we as people become accepting of alternative realities that are no longer grounded in facts, then we as American citizens are on a pathway to relinquishing our freedom. Truth is the central tenet of a free society. It is truth that says to our adversaries, we say what we mean and we mean what we say. And he didn't, you know, he didn't name Trump personally. But he said, when we as a people, a free people, go wobbly on the truth, even on what may seem the most trivial of matters, we go wobbly on America. If we do not, as Americans, confront the crisis of ethics and integrity in our society and among our leaders in both public and private sector, and regrettably at times even the nonprofit sector, then American democracy as we know it is entering its twilight years. Now, that's some pretty strong stuff. And I have to ask the question, I mean, we are talking, after all, about Old Virginia, and that part of Old Virginia is chock-a-block with MAGA signs and Trump signs, and in addition to the usual stump-grinding signs. That just still sounds filthy. Stump-grinding. But the How did he get invited to speak to VMI? Because, you know, we're all told that the military is strongly and squarely and thoroughly behind Trump. That must have come as a shock to the young graduates there to have something that, I know how it worked out. Since he didn't name Trump personally, a bunch of them probably walked away scratching their little heads and saying, that there Tillerson, he's still loyal to our president. See, he didn't say fake news, but he was a talking about it. He still knows he worked for a great man, even though he had to get his ass barred. I hate being able to think like they do. There's not enough booze in the world.
Hey, Bob, stump grinding's a good profession.
I know. There's signs all over the place, you know, and it beats the hell out of having to dig it out and drag it out with logging chains and a four-wheel drive and shit like that, but it still sounds filthy. Sounds like something you could find back in the days of the videotape store back behind that curtain, you know, that curtain, the ones that only the adults was allowed to go behind.
Or the room you needed to ask for the key.
Yeah.
For.
Okay.
You know? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, sure. There used to be a chemical where you would drill holes in the stump, and then you would fill it up with this chemical, and it would disintegrate over time.
I thought you were going to say, and then you blew up the stump.
No.
No, it's a powder. You drill holes, and you put the powder in this.
Is that still available, Duncan, or?
I don't know. But yeah.
I mean, I've seen those stump grinders at work, and they're really kind of neat, but... just
stump removal, but it took like 6 months. But eventually, yeah, it would just.
It's like a giant drill bit, just, you know. But I'm sorry, stump grinding.
Stump grinder.
Yeah.
No, it's a wheel with teeth that moves back and forth on the stump and just grinds it down.
Well, that's what I meant. And just
it's
you know,
not a drill bit.
No, but I mean, it goes into the stump, and pretty soon you've got a big pile of sawdust.
Yeah, and you can go down and right down and eat it down below ground level.
Right, and hence you don't have to use the chains and the four wheel drive pickup truck and the
and the rest of it. The roots and everything just slowly disintegrate.
Yeah, but it still sounds filthy. Because, you know, you just got signs on telephone poles around here. Not, you know, I can grind your stumps or stump grinding service or stump grinding done cheap. It just says stump grinding.
Or you can do like my dad did with the old almond tree. Got a car wrecker over here to pull out the stump.
Oh, speaking of which, Sparky, when... Because I'm still waiting for the review. I want to hear about the sour banana sherbet.
Oh, I haven't gone yet. My stepson had to put off his trip down here.
Damn it, Duncan. I've been waiting on that, too.
And they're supposed to come down here shortly.
I'd probably get wasted just on the fumes off of that stuff. I'm very much a light.
Well,
now.
I'm still working on the old reliable stuff I got. The vape still works. But I just want to try something different.
Oh, and by the way, just a quick medical cannabis update from West Virginia, bunch of fuck-ups. The Republicans have no... I think I mentioned this the other night. The medical cannabis bill takes effect next year. Nobody's going to be able to smoke any weed, but, you know, we're going to have a medical cannabis law. Hee-wee.
What are you going to have, gummies?
No, I don't think we're going to have those either. We're going to have pills. We're going to have cannabis pills and cannabis tinctures and you know, for all I know, cannabis suppositories. But nobody's going to be able to smoke either. What they just want to make sure you don't fucking enjoy it.
There's some kind of pharmaceutical company involved.
Oh, come on. My senator's Joe Manchin, and his daughter runs Mylan Pharmaceuticals. What do you think?
I think so.
But no. So the Republicans have managed to not move on actually setting up the necessary laws to make it legal for banks to handle the money.
Oh, that there's a new story today. Oh, what's his name? Trump's lawyer is involved with a pot grower in Nevada.
Cohen is? Or Giuliani?
Cohen. The big legal pot grower in Nevada.
And I'll be dipped.
A while back in Las Vegas. And I mean, it legalized pot is a big business in Nevada now. Lots of money flowing around.
Sounds like the wind's picking up out there in the man cave.
Hold on to your hat there, Sparky. You're going to lose it.
Damn, you're off to see the wizard, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you're my fan.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
I had to move because I'm trying to zap a fly.
Ah.
The cows haven't come back yet. The flies aren't too bad, but... once the cows come back, I'll be zapping flies like crazy out here.
Well, the flies are attracted to them and what they excrete, let's just say.
Yeah.
How's the fundraising going, Bob? I haven't heard lately.
Well, I got to thinking, it makes more sense to do it this way. Let's say that half of Ralph's challenge has been met, and that leaves Chris's challenge entirely to be met. So, in other words, $35 finishes fundraising. So, hopefully, you know, we'll get that knocked down in the next hour and 3 minutes.
Well, that won't be a problem.
I hope not.
No, I don't think so.
We have a racist New Yorker asshole update.
Oh, the attorney.
Yeah, he's. By the way, he's being referred to as racist lawyer bro.
Oh, jeez.
He got arrested in 2009 for threatening a cop at a baseball game.
Oh my God.
Arrested outside a baseball game in Philadelphia on charges of disorderly conduct. He was disturbing other patrons, and so the Philly security confronted him. This is two Philadelphia stories in one night. And they asked him to stop or he'd be ejected from the game. You know, unlike being black and going to Starbucks where you just get the cops called on you straight away. So the Philly police officer shows up and he jumps up into his face and said, and looks at the Philly police officer. Now, white privilege defined right here. He looks at a Philly police officer. This is Philadelphia, okay? Todd, although he cannot quite reach us on Friday on the front porch, is screaming about now. He jumps up in the face of the Philly police officer, racist lawyer bro does, and says, "You're fucking dead!" And did not get killed. And then later the charge was just entirely dismissed. He went to.
Odd to be a white man in America.
Oh, I know. But damn. By the way, hey Tracy, I gotta ask Tracy, hey. have you seen Barbecue Becky?
I sent you. You didn't get my message.
Maybe I just missed it. Oh.
Sparky was talking about his neighbors burning the bed.
Yeah.
And I said, lucky for his neighbors, he's not barbecue. They're not. Sparky's not Barbecue Becky.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, I'm so, every week there's something. I mean, Barbecue Becky, we got, you know, the young men in Nordstrom's because, you know, they were shopping and they got, you know, and automatically three black young men, they're shoplifting. But Barbecue Becky, have you watched the entire video?
Yeah, I have. And the other thing I've seen is a compendium of in the hundreds by now. Of memes that have been generated with Barbecue Becky.
Oh, they're awesome.
Do the backstory, Tracy.
Yes, well, please.
So basically what had happened was there was a group of black folks in the park in Oakland, and, you know, they do what people do in the park. They were barbecuing. And so
actually, they were we're purists here, Tracy. They were grilling.
They were grilling. I'm sorry. They were grilling. They had their charcoal barbecue grill out and all that, and they were. And so she took it upon herself. Apparently, before the video started, she was really awful to these people. And so, but then a white woman comes and starts to film her. And
she's I've seen that.
And she's on the phone with the police saying, you know, I've been waiting here. First of all, she's been waiting for 2 hours. Why is it that serious that you're going to wait for 2 hours for the cops to come and...
Yeah, and the issue, she says, is that charcoal is not allowed to be used in that part of her park.
Her park. Even though they're showing her on the phone that part of the park is designated for barbecue. It is a designated barbecue spot. And she's saying, she's saying, well, it's a danger to children because of, what did she say? Oh, because of improper barbecue. Coal disposal.
And understand, you know, the fact that I said they were grilling and not barbecuing, I'm a barbecue snob. I do not use charcoal briquettes. But there was no rule there that said you could only use well-seasoned hunks of hickory or whatever they use in Oakland.
Right.
And some folks are just going to use some of that Kingsford Matchlight because it's easy.
It's easy. I mean, when you're, you know, let's face it, when you're barbecuing and you know, you're doing it in a park, you don't want to have to be encumbered with a lot of stuff. So, you know, like you said, the match light is just easy. You throw it in the pit.
Right.
You light it and you go. You don't have to worry about lighter fluid and all that other bullshit.
It leaves a weird taste on your meat.
I understand.
But it tastes in some ways it tastes like summer.
But he seemed like a nice, easygoing guy. I don't know why anybody would want to.
Everybody was
like
nice and easygoing like, in that. But Barbecue Becky, by the way, she also got another name, Charcoal Karen.
Oh God! it's not your Karen, Steve. Don't worry.
So, she knows.
Karen. Situation gets escalated because when the white woman who's videoing her is basically harassing her, which is hilarious because she's like, oh, so when she was just talking to you guys, she was really belligerent, but now that I'm here, a white woman, she has on her white woman's voice.
Yeah, she calmed right the hell down.
She calmed down when the white woman started videotaping her, and then she started getting upset because the white woman is harassing her. Well, I would just say questioning. I don't call it harassing. But she was just, well, what's the problem? Because, you know, I'm showing you where it says they can barbecue. I'm showing you, you know, what's the problem? And she, you know, she's just getting really upset to the point that she starts to cry. And now she's not, you know, she goes to the typical white woman thing, I don't feel safe.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the police officer, she's right crying in front of the police officer. I saw that video, right?
She's hyperventilating. And
she's trying to get somebody arrested.
She's trying to get somebody arrested.
The poor little snowflake just melted all over the place. I feel so sorry for her.
I feel so bad, but what I'm loving are the memes. Have you seen the latest one when they, it's her and it was Fred from Scooby-Doo, and he takes off her mask? And is Sarah Huckabee?
No! Oh, that's precious.
No.
No, I was laughing my fool head off earlier today because I saw that photo that we've all seen a million times, Barack and Michelle standing in the Oval Office in front of the window, looking lovingly at each other, and someone had masterfully inserted Barbecue Becky standing there with the phone against her ear outside the window.
Right. Well, there's another one when there's like a couple with Barack Obama, but there's another one when she's outside the window and she's like, there's a black man in the White House. I don't feel safe.
And then there was the one of her standing over in the corner. It's the view of the march in August of 1963. You can see Dr. King from the back standing with his arms spread wide, and it and looking out on all the tens of thousands of human beings there, and there's Barbecue Becky, and she got her phone.
Yep.
I mean, what, you know, what I can't figure out is there were smartphones during the Obama years, and yet I do not remember the proliferation of these videos of these asshole white people harassing black people just for being black, basically.
Well, that's because since...
Or Spanish-speaking people in the case of that asshole from New York.
Well, to be fair, I remember when Barack Obama first took office, everybody became fascinated with BlackBerries because Barack Obama used a BlackBerry.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And the video, you know, video only became particularly useful in terms of the camera technology. You know, like with the iPhone 4 and, you know, whatever the Android version was. And then there's the infrastructure for handling video, which is bandwidth intensive. But beyond all that, it's the fact that it's okay to be a racist in America as of November 8th, 2016.
Right. It is. I mean, the repercussions of being a racist aren't what they should be. I mean, yeah, that Schlossberg guy has gotten evicted from his office by the owner of the building. You know, so yeah, he's paying a price that way. But again, there's a lot of people who don't pay a price, you know, and they need to pay a price for being, you know, a dickhead, essentially a racist dickhead, you know. Or just an asshole.
Well, you know, there was progress being made for a long time in the South. You kind of had to hide the fact that you were a member of the Klan. It was not socially acceptable, you know, even in church.
Yeah.
Now it is.
Well, just I'll give you an idea here. U2 sang In the Name of Love, of course, and they have like a 120-foot screen that bisects the floor of the concert hall. And it's like, you know, it's a screen on both sides and it can be transparent. It's really a funky thing, but they had pictures of the, they were doing In the Name of Love, Pride in the Name of Love. And, they had pictures of the, Klan rallies in Charlottesville. You know, then they of course had Martin Luther King, the I Have a Dream speech or the March on Washington speeches and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's become acceptable to be a Klansman. And Bono, of course, is a better American than many Americans are. You know, certainly he's way better than the Deplorables, even though he's an Irishman. And, you know, he's outraged about that and basically, you know, talks about how, you know, we need to be vigilant. We need to fight back. You know, this is not acceptable. You know, this kind of stuff, you know. So it's,
and there are real world consequences. Of course, we're talking about what happened in Santa Fe, Texas, which is not too terribly far from Houston. But there was a story earlier this week that just got blown past. Let me see if I can get the audio to go because it'll save a whole lot of explication here, I think. Let's see. I don't think this is the ad. I think this is the report from one of the TV stations in Houston.
Moose says that she was driving down Wayside when she saw Xavion Parker running down this exact sidewalk. She says when she stopped to ask if he was okay, he was too shocked and too shaken up to speak. But when he finally did, it blew her mind.
His face was puffed up. You know, he had scratches. His shirt was ripped. He had no shoes on. He was, like, drenched, like, sweating, crying.
Houston Police Department responded to reports of a missing child Monday after Xavion Parker never showed up after school. He was found a couple of hours later, but what he says happened to him has his family shaken up. As he was walking home from the bus stop, Parker says a red truck pulled up and several young men grabbed him and pulled him inside, all while the adult driver cheered them on. From there, he says he was taken to an abandoned property not too far away, full of guns and torture items. He was allegedly assaulted and punched, and his phone, shoes, and jacket were taken. While the group was in the other room, he managed to make it out and take off as fast as he could. That's when driver Camisio Carmouche saw him running down Wayside near Loxley and stopped to ask if he was okay. She called police and eventually got him back to his mom safely, but Michelle Lee says she won't feel peace until the suspects are caught. HPD says the driving suspect is described as a white man with a heavy build, straight reddish-orange hair, and tattoos on his arm, one of which is a racial slur.
He said the reason why they got him because they said he was black. You deserve to die. Exactly his words. And he said the dad had like a white muscle shirt on, and you could see, he said it was right here, big as day. I hate black people.
Carmouche and other neighbors believe something indeed did happen to Parker. She says he was very detailed and clearly traumatized.
How do you explain how he looked? How you explain the text messages? The mom got the text messages. I read them. We gonna hang him. You gonna find him in the morning. You gonna see him. But all that kind of stuff, like, come on, I saw it. So I know it's real.
In East Houston, Erica Simon, 13, Eyewitness News.
I saw the check.
How about that?
Well.
13 years old. And, you know, there's another story, some 70 years old or 60 years old or so, of another boy about the same age getting picked up by white men in a truck. That was Emmett Till. And we're moving backwards. It's just, I mean, there, like I said, there's oodles of these stories. How about, this is a dandy, and it comes out of Texas, too. A guy running for Dallas County Commissioner, Vickers Vic Cunningham, used to be a judge, and now he's in a runoff election for County Commissioner. And he has admitted that as a lawyer, he set up a living trust for his kids that says that his children get a financial reward from the trust as long as they marry another white person. No kidding. His brother, who doesn't get along with old Vic, said, well, you know, my brother's a lifelong racist. But, billable Rick, would that not be voidable, if not void ab initio, would that not be voidable in a court of law?
I think so. If somebody challenged it as if somebody who was cut out of the living trust, let's say married a brown or black person, yeah, they could challenge that. I think that would be probably found to be against public policy, and I don't think the court would enforce that provision.
Well, what if he married Meghan Markle? She's only half black.
Well, yeah, I guess you know that's the one drop rule, Tracy.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That doesn't. She's black, Tracy. Half white, half black is black.
I forget about the one drop rule because there's no way anybody would mistake me for anything but black. So I forget about the one drop rule.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd love it if these Klans members would take the 23andMe test or whatever. They'd probably find out that most of them have, 1, 2, 3, 4%, 5%, African ancestry,
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. Rick, can I jump in here real quick? I'm fixing to check out. I'm going to go bowling.
Oh, well, good for you, man.
I just wanted to say goodnight to everybody and let you guys know I love you all, and we'll meet again real soon.
Don't lie, Steve. You've got more pastrami hidden than your.
No, going to go to SunTrust Park tomorrow and check out the Braves too. So.
Go Bravos!
I am trying to just get away from all this political crap, man.
It's okay. I mean, I don't want to run you off from the community or anything, yeah.
Well, I love you guys, and I'm not running from you. I'm running towards
else. I went
We're
to
have
a.
Have to start calling you Baseball Steve.
I went to a.
That'll work.
I went to a funeral last weekend. Okay, went to a funeral and tuned out.
Yeah.
So so you get it.
Well, Steve, you're going to have to regale us about your the 300 game you're going to bowl tonight, okay?
Exactly.
I will cue you in next week.
Play-by-play. Who are the Braves playing?
They're playing the Finns, the Marlins. They ought to easily walk through them, but you can't ever tell, you know.
Oh, man, you've stirred up so many memories. I mean, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, the free tickets that we got every year because the Braves were so bad. And so, I'd just, and my colleagues wouldn't want their tickets. And I would just, so they'd give me theirs. And every so often I'd just take a truckload of buddies from my dart league and stuff. And we'd go and sit in the sun on a Sunday afternoon. And
nice. What's really cool, Bob?
It was like having our own stadium back then.
The new stadium is in Cobb County now. You don't have to go to Atlanta. I mean, you go south on 400, get on 285 for 10 minutes, and you're there, man. So you don't even have to schlep the Atlanta traffic anymore.
Wait. You mean the stadium, Turner Field is no more?
No, Turner Field is no more. It's now called SunTrust Park, and it's at the Gallerina in Cobb County, if you remember where that's at.
I'll be dipped.
Yep.
Oh, I remember the Galleria in Cobb County.
It's a beautiful facility.
Can you get there on MARTA?
No, sir. You cannot.
Why?
I don't know. But nighttime baseball is almost like a rock and roll concert. It's went electrified. You know, they've totally changed the dynamic.
Yeah, I'm weird, though. I like day baseball.
Yeah, well, there's nothing weird about that. It's just it totally changed the dynamic. Of the whole, you experience a game now. You just don't watch it anymore. It's really cool.
I'm actually going to a baseball game. The Dodgers are playing the Braves in June. Is
awesome.
A Pride Week in LA.
Awesome. Oh, well, I seen the Dodgers a couple weeks ago. They kicked their ass, man. When I went, but we still had a good time.
It's LGBTQ night that night, and
awesome
Friday, it's fireworks night. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Well, you have a good time, Ms. Tracy, and thanks for stopping by. It's always great to hear from you.
It's always good to hear from you too, Steve.
All right. I'll check you guys later, okay?
Hey, you and Ms. Karen enjoy, and at least this time you don't the puppies don't have to go to prison. So you won't be getting the stink eye.
Go Cubbies.
I'll check you guys next time.
See you,
Steve.
Oh, that would be a blast. Without a doubt.
We should have like a horn in at a baseball park, Bob. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, it would. Of course, we'd have to figure
out. Only if you come to the Bay Area and ride the ferry with me.
I could see doing a Giants game. Or an A's game.
Go to Vallejo and get on the ferry and go right up to the ballpark, across the bay. They drop you off right at Pier 39.
Oh, nice!
Right. That's for the
Giants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause see, I mean, I'm still not. I'm not. I'm not an American League guy. I never will be.
That's the only baseball game I want to go see. I want to ride the ferry across the bay.
That would be awesome. Where do you get on it?
In Vallejo.
Okay.
By Mare Island. If you know what Mare Island is.
Yeah, my knowledge of the geography of San Francisco is admittedly somewhat limited.
Well, this is across the bay. Vallejo's across the bay.
I heard the park in San Francisco is amazing.
Is that Petco Field or what is that called?
That's Petco is in San Diego, isn't it?
Oh, that's San Diego. Okay. Oh, it's
AT&T Park.
Oh, AT&T. Okay.
Why
don't
I even know that?
I wish parks just go by the. I wish they'd just go by the name of the team, Giant Stadium, A Stadium.
Ain't no money in that.
This corporate.
Gotta have a sponsor. I mean, look at the 49ers, Levi's Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody know what the name of the stadium is going to be in L.A., in Inglewood, when they finish it, the Rams Stadium? Does anybody know what they're going to name it?
Not yet.
That's a name already, Tracy.
I don't think they've sold any sponsorship rights to it.
Well, I'd be surprised if they didn't, because that's going to be a major thing, because they're going to, I think both the Chargers and the Rams are going to play there, right?
Yeah, it's coming along pretty good. I saw an update on the other day on NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
They had Eric Dickerson and LaDainian Tomlinson go and take a tour.
Oh, that's cool. Well, those are two Hall of Famers, right?
Drove them right into the stadium, in the middle of where the stadium is being built.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
It's coming along. It's further along than...
Did they expect...
Speaking of places, you know, that whole area around where that stadium is going to be has become... You know, they're building it out big time. It's becoming quite gentrified, I think.
Oh, it's ridiculous. The rents are going up in Inglewood. They're moving people out. When you start seeing white people in Inglewood, I mean, if anybody knows the history of Inglewood, it was a white neighborhood back in the day. And then, of course, white people moved out when black people with money started moving in. And so now, basically, Inglewood was this. It was predominantly black, you know, middle to upper middle class, and then there was some, mm-hmm. you know, lower income parts of Inglewood as well.
Right.
But now that the stadium is coming in, investors are coming in out of the woodwork to buy a property, and
yeah.
you know, there's going to be like a bunch of Airbnb. It's going to, I mean, if the property value started kind of going up when the forum was put there. When they remodeled the farm, but it wasn't to a level of what's happening in Inglewood, what's happening now that they're putting the stadium in.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that's happening over by USC. When I was growing up, my great grandmother owned a house over there right down the street from the Coliseum, and she used to park, she used to allow people to park cars in her yard, and she would sell barbecue. And stuff like that. And people, you know, it was a walking distance to the Coliseum. But now that they tore down the sports arena and built this new soccer stadium, and USC is now. But the thing is, USC was concentrated to like east of Vermont, between Vermont and Figueroa. You didn't really have anything going much further than that.
So that's how many city blocks is that, just for the listeners here?
Oh, city blocks. I don't. Maybe it's about probably 2 or 3 square miles.
That's about right. Yeah.
And now that you know, USC is moving further and further west, mm-hmm. and moving people out of their homes because it's not becoming affordable. As a matter of fact, the apartment building that my aunt lives in, the woman who owned it died, and she willed the property to USC.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
But fortunately, they haven't made her move out. As a matter of fact, they're refurbishing the apartments. They're, you know, putting in, you know, appliances and stuff like that. But they're hoping for that money from, you know, the University of Spoiled Children.
Well, USC, it basically has a 99-year lease on the L.A. Coliseum and what was the sports arena, the land that was there. And they basically, it used to be like a joint. I think I mentioned this on the program one time. Used to be like a jointly managed area, the Coliseum and the sports arena, managed by a combination of like the city, county, and state. You know, it's kind of a weird consortium
weird
entity.
Because, like, the museums is a state park. So
yeah,
the
yeah,
Science
and,
Museum
and so,
the Natural History Museum, all that.
One of the the Electronic Daisy festivals or whatever with the
right.
You know, with the electronica music at the Coliseum. There was a big scandal about that and financial mismanagement. And so the LA Coliseum Commission was essentially neutered, and they basically leased the rights to the Coliseum to USC, like for a dollar for 99 years or whatever it is. So it's basically, you know, kind of like corporate welfare in a way, except USC is a institution, but still it's a private, you know, it's a private institution, a private university, and they're spreading their tentacles all over the place. They've bought up some community hospitals and slapped the USC logo on it, you know. And they're just all over the place now.
The first sign of gentrification is when you put in, I mean, now they have a Target over there and a Trader Joe's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you figure, I mean,
there would never have put a Trader Joe's in there ever, but because it's basically in the middle of South Central LA. I mean, you know, and so now there's a Trader Joe's, there's a Target, and the whole University Village is, you know, more housing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, you know, we have a housing crisis here in LA.
Well, the poor folks have nowhere to go except maybe, you know, flea bag motels or hotels, or let's say living on the streets or living mm-hmm. underneath freeway underpasses or what have you, you know?
I mean,
and the same thing happened in downtown LA as well. That's become gentrified. It's already happened. But I mean, when I first started working in LA, like in the late 80s, I worked just north of where Skid Row is, like maybe five blocks north of Skid Row. And if you parked your car at night, like, you know, more than five blocks south of where I worked, it was like kind of scary, you know?
Exactly.
Kind of a rough neighborhood. And now it's become the arts district. Great restaurants and, you know, mm-hmm. bars and, you know, places and, to spend your money.
Condos and all that.
Condos. Yeah, luxury condos. And I mean, the traffic, you know, into LA now is like, you know, it's more traffic going into LA on the weekend than it, you know, going out. Like it used to be, the city closed at like 6 o'clock at night or whatever after working out.
Downtown LA, like you said, after 6 o'clock at night was
it was dead. It was like a ghost town. Yeah.
You did not. You couldn't. You could park anywhere, do anything, and then they started. You know, high-rise apartments and turning, you know, the old hotels into lofts. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, because when I first started driving cab, I used to work downtown at night.
Yeah.
Because you can make a shit ton of money. I mean, there would be like short trips and stuff, but after a certain time, you get the people going back into LA, back into the valley or whatever.
Right.
Because of the night, there were bars, there's nightclubs.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Well, what they've done in the theater district in LA, which is along Broadway, for those who might be familiar or not familiar, they have like these old you know, movie houses that they've turned into like movie houses or playhouses that they've renovated with a few million dollars of renovation. So now there's like a Ace Hotel and Ace Theater, and like Art Deco style, and there's the Orpheum as well.
As a matter of fact, I think Boss Gass is going to be at the Orpheum like this month or next.
Oh, Boss Gags is? Oh, okay.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, I saw Weird Al at the Ace last week, actually. He was great.
Tom Jones is going to be at the Greek next month.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
I want to...
California, renovating the old theaters.
Yeah.
Every town up here in Northern California has a renovated theater that has plays, concerts.
Yeah.
All kinds of things going on.
Yeah, I love those old buildings because they don't build them like they used to, especially the Art Deco era of the 20s, you know?
Oh, God, I love Art Deco.
Yeah.
Our old theater here in town, they restored the whole thing. It's got new signage, everything.
Yeah.
By the way, we got a little bit of a correction coming in from Jim in Illinois. It is AT&T Park, but it is Willie Mays Field. At AT&T Park.
Oh, well, you never hear the Willie Mays part of it, though.
He also noted, before it was built, I used to drive right across home plate.
Was he safe or out? I want to know that, Bob. Was the catcher blocking the plate or not?
I got it 50 at 65 miles an hour. You better hope not.
Yeah, really.
By the way, Herman writes in and says, "Hey Bob, Turner Field is still being used. Georgia State University converted the stadium to football for the GSU Panthers football team. Just wanted you to know. Thank you very much." Well, thank you, Herman. I appreciate that. It's good to know. I want to take the there's some details to the Barbecue Becky thing. As funny as the memes are and everything, there are some details here that bear going into. I got a note from Flavio suggesting she's a professor at Stanford. She isn't. But what she is, and this is kind of important, she's not just some random racist white woman. She is a highly educated racist
PhD.
White woman. She's got a PhD in chemical engineering. She got her bachelor's in chemistry or whatever, or chemical engineering, in her home state of North Dakota, where the darkest thing after all the white people are the Native Americans, and probably, you know, the cattle. Not comparing Native Americans and cattle, but, you know, it's a very, very white place. It's where, well, it's where Xenophobic Rage Barbie comes from. And isn't that curious? But even worse, she's not just a PhD chemical engineer. And her real name is Jennifer. Her real name is Jennifer Schulte, Schulte. She's 41 years old, and she is an air quality and climate change specialist.
Yep.
Did you say climate change denial?
No, she's a
specialist.
Her work focuses on air quality. So that's probably why she got all bent out of shape about the charcoal grill. Because
I should have had her at my house last night.
That's what I'm saying, Sparky.
Oh, she would have had a fit. It is interesting, though, to note that apparently on maps of that park, there are places with fixed, you know, like, you know, cemented into the... See how I said cement? I'm a hillbilly. Cemented into the ground charcoal grills.
Sorry.
And the area, I guess, is designated for non-charcoal grills. Like, you can bring your portable gas grill or whatever. But the rule is not enforced. And so she got all white-assed out of all of this, probably as a function of some of her education coupled with her racism.
Privilege.
And her privilege.
Don't forget her privilege.
Where did this happen at? Is it Oakland?
Yeah, Oakland.
Which is becoming
California.
Oakland, which is becoming highly gentrified, as we, you know, speaking of gentrification.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was along Lake Merritt, which is a very nice area of Oakland.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
She's...
Oakland a bunch of times when I was a kid.
She's previously worked for Horizon Water and Environment, URS Corporation, Environ International Corporation, and an announcement... Wait a minute. Oh, my. An announcement for a 2016 meeting of the American Petroleum Institute, says that she gave a talk titled OEHHA Revised Risk Assessment Methods Developing a Facility Game Plan. In other words, she was paid by the American Petroleum Institute, the leading climate change denial organization in the United States.
What did I tell you, Bob? I knew there was some climate change denial mixed in there.
There we go. She's a senior project manager with ERM, based in Walnut Creek, California, with 10 years of experience as an air quality and climate change specialist, a recognized expert in the fields of air quality, emission estimation, air dispersion modeling, health risk assessments, climate change impacts, and barbecuing black people. Oh, I added that last part.
What's she doing on the other side of the hill if she lives and works in Walnut Creek? That's what I can't figure out.
She has conducted complex projects throughout California, the United States, and some international locations involving air emission inventories, air dispersion modeling, health risk assessments, and climate change analyses for numerous clients, including commercial and residential development projects, ports, transportation, refineries, and various other industrial areas. And see, that's the thing. You see environmental and you see climate change. And unlike Rick, I was like, wait a minute, what? This is just... But if on that side of the aisle where the big money is, You know what they don't teach? Environmental justice.
Nope.
No, it's basically about what the companies can get away with. What,
right.
How much they can pollute without attracting government attention, let's say.
Well, yeah, it's the equivalent of that old story of an aging W.C. Fields sick and dying, sitting on his porch with a blanket over his lap and a Bible, and one of his friends says, "Fields, you old atheist, what are you doing with a Bible?" And he looks up and says, "Looking for a loophole." Her job is looking for loopholes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to the extent that earlier Sparky was talking about the mariachi and taco party out in front of racist lawyer bros place. Residents of Oakland responded, good for them.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's an awesome thing.
By having a big-ass cookout and then going and talking about it at City Hall.
And so, it was huge. It's huge. How many people? It was like hundreds of people barbecuing and all that at the park. It's like,
oh yeah.
That's what, you know what, we as black, you know, and I, you know, because I'm the designated black person speaking for the entire race, you know.
Good of you to do that, Tracy.
It's a burden that I must bear. But you talk about making lemonade out of lemons. I mean, this is what we have to do, because if we don't, we would be in a fetal position 24/7. It's like, you know, with all the memes about her. And, you know, this is what, you know, she has been. And also, she was on LinkedIn. She took down her profile. I don't know if she had a profile on Facebook, because if she did, she's probably gotten rid of that as well. Because now that people know her name. And like you said, Rick, it's because this is how we, you know, this is how we call attention to this shit. We call people out on their bullshit.
A price has to be paid. I mean, whether it's a loss of job or a loss of being able to show your face in public or whatever. I'm sorry,
well,
you know.
It's like the cop that pulled the gun. I sent you that thing last week, Bob. Has it been 2 weeks? The cop that pulled his gun on the Hispanic gentleman because he thought he was shoplifting. I was like, okay, let me just play devil's advocate. Let's just say he was shoplifting. Let's just say that he was shoplifting. Does it warrant you pulling your gun out on him?
Do you draw down on a guy over a roll of Mentos?
Mentos, on top of the fact that you're not even in uniform.
Mentos, the dead maker.
Right. You're not even in uniform. So now here's this man in the store. And this white man comes in a sweatshirt or whatever he had on and pulls a gun on him. And it's like, he goes, and, you know, God bless him. He was kind. And he said, well, I don't want him fired. I want him to have more training. Fuck that. I'm like, no, his ass needs to be gone. Because if your first reaction when you see a brown person is to pull your gun on him, there's something wrong with you.
And that was echoed later at the city council meeting. An activist by the name of Carol Fife said, the assault on black life is not an isolated set of circumstances. The recent emergency phone call from Jennifer Schulte, a white woman angered by an African-American family barbecuing in an unauthorized location at Lake Merritt, highlights how anti-black racism is used in a way to control black bodies and used in a way to control space. And that's an idea that's getting a lot more traction because we're seeing it more often. That white folks make bullshit calls to 911 over things that are not emergencies, and then nothing happens to them.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever happened to the idea of making a false report or making a false police report, or even if it's not false, making an unnecessary police report and being charged like a few hundred bucks for it, being issued a citation, that's what needs to be done at the very minimum. You know,
it's like when you start hitting people in their pocketbook,
that'll get their attention. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When people have to, you start getting fined, like a $500 fine or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, then when it's like people's like, wait a minute, is there really danger? Well, like, you know,
yeah.
The young man in Missouri, was it Missouri that got, you know, they unfortunately they didn't get hurt, they didn't get arrested, they didn't get guns drawn on them. The cops saw it for what it was, bullshit, you know, but they were accused of saying that they were taking handfuls of stuff because this little old white woman walks up to them and calls them punks. And then she gets escorted out of the store. Well, they open up a register just for her because, you know, she fears for her life because, you know, three black kids. They open up a register just for her. So, and then they escort her to her car because, you know, white people and in their safe spaces. You know, meanwhile, these young men are only thing they're guilty of is shopping while black because they're shopping for their prom.
Mm-hmm.
How dare they? I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I've been followed around in a store.
Mm.
I mean, years ago, when I was in college, my girlfriend and I wanted to show her, and this was in 83, 84, 85, just how bad it is. We go to Nordstrom's, and I had a Nordstrom's card. I was a Nordstrom's card holder, credit card holder. And I got followed around the store. Nobody actually came up to help me or anything like that. And then she walks in, a white girl. And as soon as she walks in, she gets helped. And she's like, wow. You know, it takes for white people to see it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened during the Civil Rights Movement when, you know, and it was televised. When, you know, they think they know about racism or what have you. But when they actually saw dogs, you know, being let loose on,
People getting sprayed with fire hoses,
and
just for protesting.
People being sprayed by, you know, by fire hoses and stuff. They're like, this is not right.
And beaten up on Edmund Pettus Bridge, you know.
This is, you know, Bloody Sunday. This is not right. And like Bob says, we're going backwards. We, you know, like you know, there was a time before T. Rump became president that this would not stand. You could not talk the way you do. You could not just. Welcome. I mean, I have had more people, more white shade in the last year and a half than I've ever had.
And that's in L.A. too.
And that's
so
in L.A.
In L.A., just think what it's like down in, you know, Savannah, Georgia, or Atlanta, Georgia,
Wherever. And until people start to stand up and, you know, white allies start to, you know, film stuff and shame people, hopefully this will come to an end. I don't see it here, but at least it's, you know, it's a start because old girl is probably kicking herself, thinking, and it's like that last, who's seen Get Out?
I have not yet because I'm afraid of scary movies.
But it's not really a scary movie. It really isn't. It's scary to what's happening in the movie, but there's the last scene is when,
well, maybe there shouldn't be any spoilers if you're telling me it's not going to give me any bad dreams. I mean, let's remember, I watched a couple of episodes of Breaking Bad and dreamed about it, okay?
No, it's not going to give you any bad dreams. But there's you know, when white women resort to the typical crying and calling out.
Bob.
I'm spoiling it, but I'm just glad that when Barbecue Becky started crying, like you said, she was trying to get somebody arrested, and I thank God that nothing like that happened.
Well, I just got a note from Hung Like Jesus who said, "Hey Bob, it's called using
Hung
the
like Jesus.
Yeah, that's his name, that's his handle. hey Bob, it's called using the cops as a weapon, and that's precisely what it is."
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I was going to mention, like, you're talking about these episodes of Breaking Bad and so forth. You know, stop telling us how to watch reruns, Bob. Okay?
Okay, hang on. But, you got to use the voice, Rick.
That's true. Stop telling us how to use reruns.
Stop telling us. Nuts. Stop telling us how to watch reruns, Bob. Jill can win.
Back in the past to watch a movie last night. The Last Castle with Robert Redford.
Oh, wow. I just finished watching, speaking of Netflix, I just finished watching the second volume of Dear White People.
Oh.
Has anybody... Yeah, it's I sat there, I just happened to decide to watch it yesterday, and I watched all 10 episodes in one sitting. it was deep. It was, you know, it's if you guys get a chance to watch it, watch version, you know, season one and season two. But it's, you know, it was, I think I liked the second season more than I liked the first season.
It's called White People, or what's it called?
Dear White People.
Dear White People. Okay.
I just got a note in from Terrace, who says, subject line, police training. Shooting brown males and asking questions later is standard police training. Not only does the Second Amendment need to be repealed, police need to be disarmed. And that, if you really want to have an honest discussion about policing in this country, that probably is a viable part of it, if it was going to be an honest discussion. Police certainly do not need to be armed like a freaking army, without a doubt. James says, three thumbs up for Get Out. All right, I'll be watching. I'm not sure, Netflix have it, or is it Amazon Prime or anything? Because, you know, I'm a cheap.
Wait a second, Bob. Only has two thumbs. Whose thumb is the third thumb?
Well, see, I'm afraid.
Or where is it?
I'm afraid it might be a spoiler, so I'm not asking. Let's see. We got about 13 minutes left in the program. We got $35 to go to finish fundraising. Thank you very, very kindly to everybody. Thank you, Billable Rick, for getting it started. We got $10 left on Ralph's challenge, and we got $25 left on Chris's challenge. Okay? So thank you very, very kindly to everybody. Hopefully we'll knock that down before the end of the evening. Let me just go to a different... This is sort of in the way of Bob complains about things that we don't have here. I want a Trader Joe's within driving distance in West Virginia.
I thought you were going to talk about Popeyes.
No, I want Popeyes too. But I found out that there is a Popeyes in Morgantown, but that's, you know, a 3-hour drive up and a 3-hour drive back, and they probably don't even have chicken livers. The Deep South Popeyes have chicken livers, and that's really where Popeyes shines. No, I want a Trader Joe's. I do.
It will change your life, Bob.
It's one in Reading. I have no intention of going there.
Too groovy, too cool, too good, what? Just too Reading?
It's just higher prices. And I mean, my wife went there and shopped several times before we moved, but I wasn't impressed with it. She wasn't impressed with it.
Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say that their food is probably 15 to 20% less than stuff you get like at Vons or Ralph's or the regular grocery stores. At least that's the way I find it, you know?
They have
really good frozen foods. They have
compete with the Safeway we went to here in Reading, which was right behind our house.
Well, Safeway is owned by... Safeway is the same as Vons, I think. And I find Vons is cheaper, but not cheaper than Trader Joe's. I don't know.
And they're not UFCW, so I don't participate shop there.
Well, the thing is, though, they pay competitive wages, though, to the union stores. Well, I mean,
sticker on the door when you walk in, I ain't going in. Stores have a sticker right on the by the door.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's cool.
You know, I'm generally happy that we've at least got a Kroger's, but even the union workers who work at Kroger's have to fight and scramble and beg for every little scrap that they get.
Yeah, but at least they're union, Bob.
Well, some of them.
Oh.
The new contract is not the same as the old contract. The younger workers, back the last time that they went on strike, the younger workers took it on the chin. But it would be nice to see an organization, and you know, Publix is the same way. they have a real habit of treating their employees decently. And just anything that could come into this state and compete with the hateful employee policies of Walmart would be a net gain. And
we got a superstore here in town. I haven't set foot in it.
And see, the thing is, I can get most everything I need either up at the Wiggling Pig or over at Kroger's, but there are some things that you just, and there's nothing but Walmart. And, you know, you want a package of socks? You're going to Walmart or Dollar General, you know, same shit, different name. And, you know, we've talked at some considerable length over the course of this particular week, a couple of nights this week, about what it's going to take to make things better in Central Appalachia, and in particularly West Virginia, because that's where I live. And having these forward-thinking companies come in here is part of that. Showing people that there is a different way, a better way, improving people's lives, that can't help but help. And so that's what, and it's not just because they've got really cool stuff there, and they ring a bell instead of using a PA system. It's I guess their store brands are really awesome, according to Todd. I mean, Todd's got Trader Joe's in South Carolina.
I can chime in here quickly. Hey, everyone. I shop Trader Joe's a lot, and their employees all seem to be very happy.
Mighty, your volume's very low, buddy.
Okay. I'll talk up a little bit louder.
There we go. That's better.
Yeah, because I'm not sure why that's anyway, Trader Joe's, their employees always seem to be very happy. And I've asked them on occasion about their wages, and they get regular pay raises. Have been there since last year. Well, I guess they can't complain. Plus, they have got a private label liter of tequila, 100% agave, rather drinkable for only $12.
Now, see, that's probably another thing that would slow us down here is that they probably wouldn't be able to sell liquor.
Well, get what you can get, but at any rate, I just thought I'd put a plug in there for Trader Joe's and the Bay Area.
Yeah, but you're in the Bay Area.
Yeah, hey, Mike, is that like a liter and a half of tequila or what?
It's a liter.
You know, a liter for $12. That's a good price.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
There's old farts know the metric system, right, Mike?
I wasn't suggesting otherwise.
You know, another thing they have, Mike, is they have really good craft beers by a brand called Joseph's Brow. It's like their own, I guess it's brewed, I think, in San Jose or something. And they have, like, they have Kolsch, and they have Hefeweizen, and they have Vienna.
Now it's
good. A buck each.
Yeah, now it's each. Now it's becoming painful.
My point is, to your point, Bob, is that, yeah, they are kind of be it Safeway, be it Walmart, of course, and they're kind of cool at it. Even if there may not be a union, their folks don't necessarily feel a need to unionize. I'm not talking right to work and that bullshit. They seem to be pretty straight-up companies, which, you know, maybe we need more of that.
Well, you know, that's something, boss.
In the Bay Area, that makes a difference.
That's true. You don't have to drive to the state.
The local labor market's different.
Well, you know, that's like something Boss Man Wayne always said. He said, I'm trying to work myself, and this was back when he was still actively organizing. He said, I'm trying to work myself out of a job. He said, if we can teach employers to treat their employees like human beings and be decent to them, then there will be no need. You know, the need for organized labor was always driven by the shittiness of employers. Well,
yeah,
there's Richard saying, yeah, Trader Joe's own brands are outstanding. There's one not far from me in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Richard, if you eat bacon, man, you're close enough over there. You got to get your hands on some Benton's bacon. It's not too far to... Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, that was a segue. But it would be nice if we really want to make Appalachia a better place, business has got to come in. Business that wants to make places better has to come in here. And that's the bottom line. Brianna last night talking reminded us about Bill Cole, the Republican candidate for governor, who owns a bunch of car dealerships, acting in his own self-interest to stop Tesla from being able to sell cars in West Virginia. And that's the proof that these so-called conservatives really aren't interested in conserving anything. The only thing they're interested in conserving is their own four trotters in the trough.
And holding you back.
Yeah, exactly. Ron in Raleigh says, what you need is either an Aldi's or a Lidl, both German stores. We have both with the Trader Joe's in between, soon to have a Wegmans. Publix is awfully good, too, down south. They're nice. But, Richard says, I'll be driving past Benton's in a couple of weeks. Get a pound, Richard. I'm telling you, get a pound. You'll never be the same again. And so
Bob. I couldn't grow tomatoes this year.
What? No tomatoes?
I couldn't plant them. I was just handicapped.
Oh, man. That's so no 4th of July tomato?
No. I would have come up there, Sparky, if you had some Humboldt gold or whatever.
You should have gotten your minion over and taught him the fine art of tomato planting.
There you go.
I can't get him over when I want him. He just comes and goes. Has to get permission.
Yeah, he's kind of a will-o'-the-wisp that way, I guess.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Well, thanks, Sparky, for moderating this evening, and thanks, Steve from Georgistan, who went off bowling. Thank you, Larry, for popping in this evening. Thank you to Mighty Mouse, and thank you to Billable Rick and Tracy. Good conversation this evening. Back on Monday, and if we can scare up $35, we'll be done, and we'll just be a clean slate on Monday. So thank you, and thank you to everybody who kicked in this evening. $10 finishes Ralph's challenge, and $25 finishes Chris's. So hopefully that happens, and we'll catch back up on Monday, and hopefully. Oh, why do I even say hopefully? God only knows what will come our way by Monday. Let's just put it that way. Thanks, everybody, for all the time you spend engaged in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to all of you, a significantly smaller number, who keep the program on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks, Steve from Georgistan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa said a little bit ago, and this is intriguing to think about. I'm looking forward to the day when you smoke a rack of ribs with cannabis. That culinary review will be epic. Wait a minute. Okay. I didn't notice this earlier, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. There had to be a Big Lebowski reference in there somewhere, since there was bowling involved. It's already sundown in Georgia. Steve is officially rolling on Shabbos. And can we declare Barbecue Becky the old horn climate Scientologist, Bob? Just remember, just because you see climate scientists doesn't mean they're working for the good side. So, again, thanks, everybody, and thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.